Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if I save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. We're just going to call that icing on the cake, because the mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, and service. So if you ever find yourself at a business crossroads and not sure which way to turn, just turn on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are on a mission here. We are on a mission here trying to build some economic empowerment. You heard the song, you got to give more power to the people. Guess what? If they don't give it to us, we're going to take the power. Daggone it, we ain't got to sit around and wait on anybody to give us anything. It's all about economic empowerment, people. There's a lot of powers out here. There's religious power, social power, education power. But economic power, that unlocks the key to the kingdom, to the bank accounts, to prosperity, to upward mobility, to all sorts of good things. That's why we are about economic empowerment. And it's more important now than ever before. Because as we see the things that are happening in the country, and we see this polarization, we see this great divide. And that's why today, on the Ides of March, we're going to take some drastic approaches here. I want you to really stay tuned today. You got to listen to this, because this is deep. This is heavy. So if you know somebody who is in business, somebody who's thinking about going into business, somebody who's want to find the key, the path to economic empowerment, then on this Ides of March, Ides of March is March 15th, then you want to tune in to this show. I'd like to welcome everybody, the new listeners. If you're tuning in for the first time, I just have one question for you. Where the heck have you been? But, I mean, that's not to beat up on you. I just say I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you found us. And I'm glad that if you're going to learn something today that's going to help you go out here and tell other people that there's a sheriff in town called Robert Gatewood, and he's all about economic empowerment. He's about putting our people on the economic grid. He's about making our businesses successful. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We actually start enough businesses, but the key is making those businesses successful. Yeah, you can't throw a rock without hitting the business owner. But I tell you one thing, there's a lot of folks out here that are in business that won't be here next year. I mean, they'll be here, but they may not be in business. That's because they don't understand marketing, how marketing works, and how pivotal it is in the building of a successful business. Now, you can't explain marketing in a 5-minute commercial, a 60-second spot. Marketing requires explaining. You have to be educated. You have to understand the left brain, right brain, the consumer adoption process, the reasons people buy, the industry life cycles, the cost per acquisition, the lifetime value. Can't do that in a 60-second ad. That's why I said this is so important, that not having enough money to afford marketing is not a good enough excuse. I said I'm going to start a daggone show. And I'm going to spend an hour every week out of my life explaining to people how marketing works and how pivotal it is to the success of a business. And I said, well, people said, what about this name, Marketing Pulpit? Are you all a church group? Are you a religious show? No. Marketing is my ministry. I named the show Marketing Pulpit to honor my dad, the Reverend Dr. W.H. Gatewood, who was married to my beautiful mom, Miss Geneva Gaddy Gatewood. And they raised a son I was one of 14 children, 10 boys and 4 girls. And all of us have our own callings. My calling is marketing and business development. So I named the show in honor of my dad, the Reverend Dr. W.H. Gatewood, who spent most of his life in the pulpit. I said, well, I'm not going to go preaching the gospel, but I'm going to preach marketing, and marketing is my gospel. That's why I start every show bringing you the good marketing gospel. Now, if you want to join the conversation today, I want you to call us at 1-800-450-7876. I was about to give you my office number, which is not a bad idea. My company, Gatewood Marketing and Web, we are a business development company. I've been doing this for over 25 years as a self-employed business owner. I'm a SBA contracting consultant. I have two books. I'm an adjunct professor at Prince George's Community College. I have an MBA degree, and I'm president of Gatewood Marketing and Web. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, on March 16th, I'm going to be teaching my trademark course, my landmark course, Marketing Strategies for Today and Tomorrow, over at Prince George's College, right here in Largo, Maryland area, of right outside of Washington, D.C. It's actually a six-hour course from 9 in the morning to 4 in the evening, and I'm going to be on my feet preaching the gospel to a class full of people who understand the importance of marketing strategies. And so I've been doing that for the last 20 years. They gave me a pin last year for being a 20-year instructor professor at Prince George's College. So, folks, I don't just sit up here and talk this stuff out of the side of my head. I talk it, I do it, and I teach it. So you need to listen up. I also have a strong lineup of co-hosts. Joining me today is going to be therapist Wena Cullins. She's going to be joining me in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, I hear those footsteps coming. Do I hear Wena coming? She's on the way. Tap, 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 tap. Yeah, she's on the way. Wena Cullins, she's a very sharp and bright young lady. She joins me the third Friday of every month. On the first Friday, I have attorney Teacher Hillman. Second Friday, I have accountant Felicity. And the fourth Friday, we just mix it up. Sometimes we have Danny Jones. Sometimes we have real estate person. Sometimes we bring a special guest. So you want to set your dial every Friday. I don't care who's co-hosting. You need to get on up in here and listen. Wena just flew in here from Paris. I'm using my French on her. She's been out of the country for a while.
Now, what are you telling everybody about business?
I ain't supposed to be telling. It's all over the internet. What are you talking about?
You're right. It's on my grandpa.
I got to look at your Instagram post. Anyway, welcome to the booth, Wena.
Hey, hey.
All right, folks. Wena Cullen, she's going to be talking later on about, what are you going to talk about later on anyway?
Oh, well, you told me that you wanted to talk about settling debts today. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about how to love a person who never says, I'm sorry.
Sorry, what's that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Robert, here we go.
I need to be listening, sounds like it. So she's going to talk about how to love somebody who doesn't know how to say they're sorry. Now, she mentioned something here that was, today is the Ides of March. Anybody who's ever studied Shakespeare history, on March 15th and 14 BC, this guy named Julius Caesar, he was going to the Senate, much like the senators here. And this little guy on the side of the road said there were three ladies called soothsayers. I think I don't want to get my stories mixed up. There was a soothsayer said, beware the Ides of March. And he's like, what you talking about? Forget that. I'm Julius Caesar. Nothing can happen to me. Well, they say they warned him. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, the guy got to the Senate, and six of his fellow senators, led by one of his friends, Brutus, stabbed him to death. Now, back in those days, they assassinated you. They didn't have high-powered rifles and roadside bombs. Sure. They stabbed you. So it was pretty personal. And that's where that famous phrase came from, et tu, Brute. He's saying, you too, Brutus? You gonna stab a dude like this after all I've done for you? I'm your Ace Boone Coon. I'm your main man, your BFF, your road dog.
Yeah.
He stabbed him anyway. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so Ides of March. That's how most people know Ides of March. But actually, Ides of March, in Latin, Ides means divide. That was like the dividing point of the month. It was also used to be, back in those days, it was like the it was sign of the full moon. But then it got kind of thrown off. The calendar got thrown off. Let's drop that part. But we'll keep the Ides of March part. So Ides of March in the sense means settling of debts. So people would say you go through the whole year. I mean, the calendar was all mixed up back then. But anyway, on March 13th, the Ides of March is when you settled up.
Okay.
You settled things up. So I'm going to talk about today. Boy, let me tell you, I'm going to start some trouble today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about settling the debt. Have you settled your debt with the black business community? I don't care what your stripe, what Ooh. Your persuasion, have you settled your debt with the black business community? And you got to hear this segment coming up next. We got Wena going to talk about forgiving folks. Wait a minute. Folks that don't know how to forgive. Y'all know who you are out there. Do you know how to forgive? Do you not know how to forgive? How do you love somebody who doesn't know how to forgive? Stay tuned for Wena. She's going to talk about that. We also got to talk about what's happening in the news, because we don't live in a vacuum. We have to contextualize things that are going on. Oh, yeah, I was telling you about the course tomorrow. I'm at Prince George's Community College from 9 a.m. You can actually still get on board. Go to pgcc.edu if you still want to register. We got a nice class lined up. I'll be there from 9 a.m. And just check out the events on the marketing pulpit. And I also include the classes that I teach, where I'm a professor at Prince George's Community College, where I teach marketing, social media, advertising, networking, and sales. Oh, let's talk about what's going on. Well, Aunt Becky might be going to jail.
Oh, goodness.
That didn't even sound right. Wait, why is Aunt Becky going to jail? That doesn't sound right.
She better say I'm sorry.
Ooh. But you wrap that up, put a bow on it real fast. Lori Loughlin, she's the Full House Aunt Becky character. And she got wrapped up in this college admission scandal.
Yes.
Boy, these folks, I'm telling you. I'm sitting here thinking about, I went to college. I'm trying to think that my daddy paid to get me through school. Did he stop his sharecropping long enough? Did he get off his horse long enough? Did he drop his plow long enough to go out here and pay somebody to put me through? Probably not. Mm-hmm. There's not enough money in sharecropping to put folks through school. So people like me and Wayna and the rest of y'all, we had to get it the old-fashioned way.
Grants, scholarships, loans.
Navy Aunt, Sally Mae. You don't know about Navy Aunt and Sally Mae. I can get amen on that. So anyway, that's a big mess. And it just kind of shows that there's so much privilege.
For people who don't know what you're talking about,
please.
We're talking about a lot of celebrities who have been busted cold for bribing officials of very, very top-notch institutions to get their children into college, though they have not earned it, on athletic scholarships and academic scholarships. We're talking about, you know, flubbing scores on SATs and ACTs and really bumping kids who were actually rightfully entitled to go to those schools out of their coveted spots. So there's this class action lawsuit now against those celebrities who have been caught red-handed.
Loughlin was one of the celebrities. Now, there was a lot of folks like corporate execs, banking folks,
right,
hedge managers. But, of course, the ones that are on TV that you see every day, of course, they're going to make them the poster child. That was Aunt Becky and this other lady, Felicity. Felicity Huffman. But he called this sting Operation Varsity Blues. And they say more arrests could come. They had 50 people they snagged already. But, Wayna, I am sure this thing is so deep. 50, it's probably got about 5,000 people.
Oh, this goes back decades and decades.
But, you know, it reminds me, though, Wayna, there are some folks out here, could be some folks on Supreme Court, some people in Congress, some people that's arguing your case in law.
Yeah.
Somebody's operating on you. They could have gotten one of these free passes and don't know what the heck they're doing.
Change the entire trajectory of your life. I'm for sure.
My goodness. All right, folks. This is the Marketing Pulpit. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. When I come back, I'm going to talk about the Ides of March and selling your debt. You got to sell up. And this is going to be more pointed towards the black business community.
Marketing
Pulpit.
I can't
wait. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOLF 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This traffic update is sponsored by Walgreens. We've cleared a crash on the Beltway outer loop at 270. Cleared two crashes on 395 northbound Boundary Tunnel Drive and Washington Boulevard. Residual delays tying you up there. New York Avenue and the 3rd Street Tunnel finally reopened lanes from the outbound accident on New York Avenue. And the tunnel, well, it is still jammed trying to travel northbound towards New York Avenue. We are not clear, however, of a Marlboro, Pennsylvania Avenue inbound crash at Dower House Road. Continues to tie us up. We are jammed before you get to Melwood Road, Woodyard Road. Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. 68 degrees in the WOL forecast. Well, we're expecting partly sunny skies throughout the day. Chance of a stray shower, maybe, and a high near 70. I'm Angela Foster on 1450 AM, 95.9 FM WOL, where information is power.
Now, one of my listeners out here said this college scandal's been going on for a long, long, long time. What happens in the dark comes to the light. Mm. But when there's so much stuff is going on in the dark.
Well, what else is going on?
Well, the college scandal, we got people out here. We got people out here thinking about overthrowing the government. We got crazy people in government who are fostering and supporting and encouraging this foolishness. We had this shooting over in New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah.
30 people shot up in one location, 19 in another. We have a underground nationalist movement in our country. We have one of our representatives in Congress, Stephen King, who constantly talks about the browning of America and how they can't replace us with these brown babies. We have a president who claims he's a nationalist. So all of this stuff, it just kind of culminates with these type of tragedies. They're not necessarily directly linked, but if you put enough pieces together, then you're going to have that kind of unraveling of society. So we really have to keep an eye on that. What else is happening in the news? Now the Senate is starting to get a backbone. We have about 12 senators actually going to vote against this wall declaration down at the border.
Nice.
So we got starting to see a sprinkling of people growing backbones. Also, there was a 429-0 resolution in favor of releasing the findings of the Mueller investigation.
Wow.
I didn't know you could get everybody to vote on anything.
Right.
I didn't know you could get everybody to vote.
Unanimous vote.
Yeah, the sky is blue. I didn't know you could get a unanimous vote on that. So that's some encouraging signs on that. Let's see. Now, also, I'm going to talk about this Ides of March. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today on this Ides of March of settling up your debts. Now, when I say debts, I'm not necessarily talking about reaching in your pocket, pulling out a wad of bills.
Okay.
Now, if you owe me money, I'll take that too. But we're talking about a more ethereal, something that's more mental, something that's more spiritual, something that's more. Give me some more words here, Lena. Yeah, you're a worried bank over there.
What? Something more nebulous? What are we talking about?
Something that's not necessarily money. We're talking about like selling up your debts as far as commitment.
Oh, I see.
Because let me tell you a story. Then put in a story term. I do like Bernie Mac. Let me tell you a story today.
Oh, goodness.
I ain't lined up in here. I'm going to tell you a story. That's my Bernie Mac impression. Hey, I'm working on it, okay? You weren't sold, okay? Let me tell you a story. In case you didn't get the memo, supporting black businesses has actually gotten cool again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do we know this?
I read it. I'm declaring it.
Okay.
I feel it in the air.
You're clairvoyant now.
It's cool. It's hip. It's hot. It's the thing to do. It's in vogue. It's like a je ne sais quoi. Once upon a time, it was almost like you had to hide your blackness. You weren't going to go shop at a black company because you felt like their ice wasn't as cold.
Robert.
They weren't going to give you good service. But you know, Wayne, I did an experiment. I actually did an experiment.
What was your experiment?
I wanted to find out if indeed the white man's ice was colder than the black man's ice. Now, when I say white man, I'm speaking colloquialism. This is a colloquialism. I'm not talking about necessarily a physical white man. I mean non-black businesses.
Okay.
Is their ice colder than a black business? So I did a test. I don't just take people's word on anything. Let me prove this. Let me debunk this theory once and for all. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy a black bag of ice from a white business and go buy a bag of ice from a black business. Buy me some black ice. So I went over to the 7-Eleven and bought me a bag of ice. You know, right? The guy sent me outside to the cooler. I don't know if it's a white business, but the guy behind the counter wasn't white, but he wasn't black either. So I kind of made an assumption that's a white business, okay?
Oof.
I know this is it's hard to do this. This is a hard test to run. I thought this would be easy, right?
So my second thing would be go find some black ice. So now I got to go find some black ice. I'm riding all over town. And so I finally found a chop. I think it was a black chop. But I don't think the ice, I don't think the guy made the ice, though.
Right.
So my test is starting to fall apart before my eyes. He sent me outside to the same cooler like the other guy. You know, get that bag, the blue and white bag.
I know the
got
bag.
The polar bear on it.
Yes.
And so it's like the same ice. But anyway, I said, well, but for my experiment, though, I said, man, this thing is really getting hard. So anyway, I took my ice from the 7-Eleven, from the black shop, and I said, I'm going to find out if this white ice is exactly colder than the black ice. I'm determined to debunk this theory so people can stop thinking like that. But you know what happened, though, before I can even do my ice test? It got me to thinking about some other things. What actually makes a business a black business? You know what I mean? Prima facie, you think that you could just walk out here and walk into a black business, and that's a black business, that's a white business, or a non-black business. But it's not quite that simple.
Okay, break it down for me.
Okay, here, think about this. You go into a car dealership, and it's owned by a black person, but the black person didn't make the cars.
This is true.
So is that a black business? You go into another black dealer, you go into another car dealership, the owner is not black, but there's a black general manager, there's black salespeople, there's a black person in the back room doing the loans. So do you not go to that guy because he's not a black owned business, but is putting black people to work?
Okay, I see where you're going.
And then suppose that black business is a self-hating Trump supporter. Do you support him?
Just because he's black.
I want you all to think for a minute, because this thing is kind of complicated. But I'm going somewhere on this Eyes of March about selling up debts. Shopping black can be complicated. I want you every chance you get. And this is not a black white thing. This is about supporting your community and businesses in your community that support you kind of thing. If somebody gives you good service, then support them. But if you can support the businesses in your community, I'm saying do that. Let me put in a scenario for you. Since it's gotten so complicated about how and what is the business black, is the business white, let's why we try to sort all of this out. So you can get paralyzed. You can get in this state of a paralysis trying to figure it out. You can't walk into every business with a census bureau and say, okay, you 51%. The labor board statistics say this percentage of your business. That gets complicated. We don't have that kind of time. If you just want to go buy a bag of ice to put in your cooler to have a cold beer, I don't have time to be doing a census bureau every time I go to the store.
Right.
I need to know, do you have ice or not? But when you walk into that store, instead of trying to figure out, is it a black-owned or white-owned, I want you to do this test. Who are they putting to work?
Okay.
Who's behind that counter? Who's out there on the floor? Who's in the back room counting the money?
Okay. That we can do.
What about if you say, what are they selling to my community? Mm-hmm. Are they selling something that's going to harm me, that's going to shorten my life, that's going to put me in debt, that's going to poison the mind of my youth? Let's run that kind of test. And last but not least, how is that business treating me? How is it treating my community? How is it treating the customers? And how is it treating me as a human being? So sometimes when we can't figure out, we go through all these mental calisthenics of trying to decide if a business is black or white or Asian or Hispanic or Latino or... Let's look at their deeds. Not at the expense of the color of their skin, but at least let's weigh. What is this business doing for my community?
That's a good thought.
Because it can get tricky trying to say, my ice is colder than your ice. This business is black, this business is white. We're so mixed up now, you don't know what people are anymore.
You know, Robert, I thought you were going to say that it's really important for us to just notice how we feel when we think about black businesses, mm-hmm. just that internal bias that you may have that you don't even realize about whether or not the business is going to be inferior or the ice is not going to be as cold or, you know, thinking about going to a black business. Do you believe you're going to get bad customer service before you've even experienced it?
Well, that's a good point, because this is my advice. You give me a good segue into my wrapping up this story. This is my advice to black business owners.
Okay.
You have to settle up with the black community.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
Don't just sit back and wait on somebody to give you their money because you are a black business.
Okay.
I don't care how cold your ice is or not cold. You might have hot ice. I don't care. You have to use that same litmus test that I just ran for deciding on whether or not we should patronize a business. Apply that same litmus test to your business. Who are you hiring? Who are you putting to work? Who's walking that floor? What are you selling to my community? Are you poisoning the mind of our youth? Are you putting products out here that's bad for our health? Are you putting out things out here that's putting us further into debt? We're already behind. We don't need our own community leaders, our business community, making matters worse. And last but not least, Wheeler, this is exactly where you're going. How are you treating us?
Yeah.
How are you treating your customers? How are you treating our community? And how are you treating me as a human being? Folks, we do have some selling up to do. We blacks as individuals, we owe a debt to our black businesses by supporting them when they treat us right. But to our black businesses, we have a debt not just to our black consumers, but to society. Put out a good service. Be good to our community. Let's put some folks to work. As I say at the end of every show, you have to do the right thing, do it at the right time, and do it right. When we come back, we're going to talk about, are you finding it hard to love somebody who won't say they're sorry?
Oh, you got it.
Don't go anywhere. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL at 95.9 FM.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as a relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, W240DJ Washington, 95.9, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
All right, folks, we're here on the Ides of March. Beware of the Ides of March. We're going to turn this into a positive.
Oh.
We don't celebrate the Ides of March by going out here stabbing anybody, okay? That's what happened to Julius Caesar. His BFF stabbed him. We're going to turn this into a positive today. I have in the studio Wena Cullins. She's a therapist. I just call her Wena.
Yes.
She like Prince and Ciara and
yes.
Beyonce. One name celebrities. That's why I started calling myself just Gatewood. Hey, Robert seems so formal. And Robert Gatewood seems so long. And I just said Gatewood, daggone it. So that's what I am now. I'm Gatewood. This is Wena. This is the Marketing Pulpit. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. We're here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. We bring you the good marketing gospel. Later in the show, I'm also going to talk about the three things that the three economic phases of a website develop, of a website ownership. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But Wena's got a lot to talk about today. I'm going to just get out of her way and let her do it. Welcome to the show, Wena.
Hey, DMV. What's up, Robert?
And let me just also tell anybody, if you want to have a question for this sister or anything we're talking about today, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Also go to Marketing Pulpit, where you can find Wena's information as well as my own and all of the guests that show appear on the Marketing Pulpit radio show. We're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram, and we're on Twitter. All things Marketing Pulpit. Wena, what's this you talking about?
Yes.
Folks that won't say I'm sorry.
Right.
That's so hard.
Yeah, let me break it down, because you're talking about settling debts. Mm-hmm. And settling debts is so, so important in relationships. And when someone has been wronged or feels hurt and they can't get their partner to apologize or say I'm sorry, it can be the most maddening experience ever.
But they started it.
Well, listen, I want to talk about it on air today, right? Because coincidentally, the same folks who have a hard time saying I'm sorry or taking responsibility for hurting someone are the same folks who may never make it into a therapy session. Because you have to be vulnerable. Okay. Both actions require vulnerability. So
saying they started is not the good way to start the conversation.
You know, you're keeping it all the way real right now, and that's exactly where I want to go, because this is what happens in my office when couples come and land on my couch. Right. So, Robert, there is an entire camp of people, men and women, who both admit that they just can't or won't say I'm sorry in their relationship. And when you get into that space, it's really dangerous. So I wanted to take some time to talk to folks about why people are not saying I'm sorry.
Maybe they can't talk.
You're getting caught up on your own words.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, what is that about?
Maybe the cat got their tongue. You know, sometimes you had some food in your mouth. And you
Oh, how convenient.
You're just
okay.
Taking a gulp of your cold one. It's like... I was going to say it, but it just...
Right. No. Everybody who comes to see me who's in the other position is dying for me to break down what on earth would make it difficult for a person to actually say that I'm sorry when their partner has made it very clear that they feel hurt or they've been wrong. So I'm going to try to get to at least two reasons, the most important reasons, why somebody might find it hard to say I'm sorry. And the first one is that the partner doesn't think that they have anything to be sorry for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that person might feel.
Sorry, this seems like the most obvious one. But, you know, when you tell your partner, hey, you know, what you just did or what you said was really hurtful to me, and you expect some type of acknowledgement or an apology, you may have gotten back a million times, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't do anything. Or, no, I didn't. I didn't mean to do that, right?
I know that's right. I
Robert, it's all over your face that this is happening at home when you close that door and pull the blinds down. So I'm going to let you be quiet,
okay,
right?
I'm going to be quiet.
Right. So, you know, there are two sides to every story. Therapists say that there are three. One person's version, the other person's version, and then what really happened, right? Because perception is reality, and your reality can be very different from your partner's reality. But because there are two sides to every story, it is super important that when one person tells you that they feel hurt or wronged or offended, that step one, you actually stop and acknowledge that you hear that person and that that was their experience.
But what if they say it all the time?
Come on.
Every time I say something, you mad.
Right.
You feel like I done said something. I get tired of you apologize.
Exactly.
Oh, that on your list?
Yeah, of course it's on my list. I can't prepare for you.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what folks say. Like, everything I do offends you. Or every time I turn around, I don't intend to hurt you, but I'm doing something or saying something that causes you to tell me that you need an apology. What's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Right. So the hard part about it is that if that person is the first person that brings up the issue that day, you're not going to be able to move on and talk about both things at the same time. You can't talk about the fact that they've been hurt and wronged while you're also accusing them of always being hurt and wronged incorrectly. Mm. Somebody's got to be the person in the relationship who's vulnerable.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So just acknowledging that somebody has been hurt or their experiences that they've been offended does not give them leverage over you. Which is a problem. Mm-hmm. Most people think if I say I'm sorry, if I apologize, this person has leverage. Yeah. It doesn't give them leverage. It actually opens their ears in a way that they can now move on and hear your complaint.
But you didn't apologize to me last time when you hit my car and didn't even tell me, or when you...
Right. Is your partner hitting cars and not apologizing? Let me know. But I get where you're going. You didn't apologize to me the last time, and I didn't demand that of you. You brought up a great point that you find in a lot of relationships that one partner thinks that some of the things that their partner does to get on their nerves, to offend them, it's just minutia. It's small stuff. It's not worth me coming to you, having a talk to you about it, and us having to go through an apology process. Mm-hmm. So you sweep those things under the rug, and you may build up 5, 7, 10 of those things. But then your partner feels like they want to address every single time you've hurt them, offended them, wronged them. And you say, well, I didn't do that to you.
Yeah.
So why are you doing that to me?
I let you slide. See, I was like, right. That's small. That ain't worth bringing up.
Right.
But turn around. All I got to do is leave the toothpaste cap off. And I got World War III.
Right. So then you're saying that you have to love your partner the same way and be loved the same way.
That's not right.
That's the issue.
Okay.
That perhaps you should bring up sometimes when you have been hurt or offended. And that doesn't mean that you're making a big deal or a federal case out of it. But if it causes you to want to be dismissive when your partner brings up something that you've let some things slide, then you got to figure out what to do so that you can be present when they have a complaint. Because complaints are allowed.
Hmm.
There's a difference between complaints and criticisms. Complaints are small things that you do that can potentially offend, hurt, somehow belabor your partner. Criticisms are like global character attacks that you have a hard time really understanding how to even combat or fix. A complaint would be, Robert, you didn't fill the gas tank up the last time you drove my car. And when I got up in the morning and had to get to the radio show, I had to put gas in the car. A criticism would be, you are so lazy, Robert. Every time I need you to do something for me.
That's stinging.
Right. You're so lazy, you couldn't even put the gas in the car.
I ain't lazy. I was up to like 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you realize how hard I had to work trying to put food on the table?
The defenses are going up. Come on, because this is what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. So, Robert, as long as you are clear that one person has to be able to hear the other person at all times and at least acknowledge that this is your experience of it. You don't lose anything in that exchange. You don't lose any leverage by saying, well, I apologize. I didn't mean to make you feel that way. And stop. Put a period at the end of the sentence, not a comma. Let the person feel heard. Let them feel acknowledged. Let them feel understood. And then you can come back to this notion of how frequently am I apologizing for things? But maybe there's a deeper issue here.
Suppose, though, you apologize for something. Isn't that like an admission that you did something wrong when you might not even feel you did it wrong?
Yeah, that's the point. So there's a difference between what you intended to do and what you do.
Okay.
Right?
So because, no matter whether you intended or not, that person feels hurt.
Correct.
By your action.
Correct. You know, I didn't intend to rear end you with my car this morning when I wasn't paying attention. I got distracted for a good reason, but I didn't intend to do it. But when I jump out of the car and I explain that to you, you're going to say, well, that's great. The car still needs to be repaired. There's still a consequence to your actions. I'm still hurt. The vehicle is still damaged. This is what car insurance is for, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct. So some people believe that their good intentions should cover them. And if they didn't mean to do it, then it doesn't matter that their partner was wronged by it or felt offended. And that's just not the case. You can state your intention so people know that it wasn't malicious. But you also have to take responsibility for the fact that there was still a negative consequence and your partner was hurt by what you did.
But and I'm going to come back to this. Some people are very sensitive. They offend very easily.
Agreed.
What do you do with those kind of folks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying.
I'm not talking about you, but.
I'm not talking about anybody that I know. But what about people that are just extremely sensitive? And it's like you just have to have like just give them like 10 apologies at a time in advance.
Right. Look,
this is for the next 10 things I'm going to do.
Right.
It's an apology.
Right. On a cool head, it's time to have a talk about that, right?
Okay.
That's something that's not minutia. That's not the small stuff. That is an inherent issue in your relationship that you believe that things that you're doing most of the time are offensive or hurtful to your partner. And on the flip side of that, if you're the person that finds yourself always in a position where you're being asked to apologize and it's causing you to feel rejected and question whether or not your partner really likes who you are as a person because you can't, you know, move or leave the cap off the toothpaste without them calling it out, then you need to have a discussion about that.
We got some issues up in here. We got to talk. Right. Our engineer has the answer. He says it's called divorce court. Alonzo, I'm not sure that's the answer. You may have missed.
Alonzo, so many people do.
You may have missed the point. What do you think?
But they end up, you know, separating and potentially thinking about divorcing because they can't say I'm sorry any more than they've already said I'm sorry. They don't believe that it's valid or justified. And in refusing to acknowledge your partner's concerns, you put this big wall up between the two of you where nobody feels they're going to get any traction because they're not heard and they're not acknowledged.
But, you know, it brings up this point about being, being the right match for your person.
Right.
And if you have a person that's in your life and that person is overly sensitive and you're incident prone, I mean, you're always doing something, you might not be a good match. You got to work that out.
You know, yep, in healthy relationships, marriage, romantic relationships are all about knowing how much you can bend and stretch to make each other comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. There's a compatibility issue sometimes when
that's the word.
A compatibility issue, right? Mm-hmm. When you believe that the way you are and be and move in the world is somehow offensive to your partner. But it's not just a case of someone being overly sensitive. Sometimes, Robert, it's a case of you not wanting to be flexible enough to be married.
Ooh, girl, you're stepping on toes. Folks, this is the Marketing Fool, but I have Wena Cullen, a therapist. She's talking about, are you one of those folks that don't know how to say I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
And are you... Let her explain it. We're going to be back after the break. I'm going to talk about the economics of website ownership. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL and 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL traffic update is sponsored by Credit Karma, 295 southbound after Suitland Parkway. Roadwork
in the left lane, causing a bit of a back up there. Southbound Kenilworth Avenue, construction in the left lane before Buchanan Street. On the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, southbound at 410, construction was in the right lane again today. Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. And now your WOL weather forecast, sponsored by Walgreens for today. Cloudy, could see a thunderstorm this afternoon, a high around 70 degrees. Partly cloudy overnight, turning colder down to 43 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and windy, a high near 52. Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM, 95.9 FM, WOL, where information is power.
All right, folks. Beware the Ides of March. If you see anybody walking around with a bunch of knives, this is not a good day. They stabbed old Julius Caesar on March 15th.
We're not 14th. Doing that here.
So get those virtual and real knives, those real and virtual knives, protect your back, daggone it. But let's take a positive approach. That's what we're doing today. We're talking about settling up debts in a positive way.
Right.
We're talking about people who are out here, they're trying to love somebody, but the person never wants to admit that they're wrong. They won't apologize.
Yeah, Robert, I think you spin this around to talk about that person being overly sensitive, and I'm wondering if you just don't want to say I'm sorry. Real talk.
Let me see if I can say I, la, la.
Exactly.
I might have some issues.
Well, let me wrap this up.
Cow, you got that red cow at your belly today.
Right. Listen, I was saying on the break to my Facebook viewers that if you don't say, it's my fault, I take full responsibility, I caused this, I'm sorry, frequently, doesn't mean that you're not wrong, but you may be really out of practice in saying those words in your relationship. And they're hard words to say. But if that made you cringe on the inside, then we got some work to do, because nobody's perfect in relationships, and saying those words will bring your partner back to you.
That's right.
That's right. So if you know that this is an issue between you, definitely check out my website, WenaCullins.com. That's WeenaCullins.com, or my blog, CouplesOnTheCouch.com, where I write about very, very interesting and relevant things like this. You can also catch me on social media at WenaCullins, LCMFT. That's WenaCullins, LCMFT on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and the Gram. And if you are in the DMV and you are looking to see someone, definitely give me a call at 301-592-7244.
Ladies and gentlemen, find this sister. If you're out there, one of those folks that don't know how to say you're sorry and you got some other issues that need to be worked out, she's got room over there for you. She's busy now. She's busy.
I am busy.
This lady's busy. Folks, we have Mo on the phone. Mo, welcome to the Marketing Pulpit. What's on your mind there, brother?
Hey, I wanted to say, I think an important thing's being left out after the period, mm-hmm. after you say you're sorry,
right.
is because sorry is an action word. It's what happens next. Oh. Do you have to say you're sorry again for the same exact thing? You know, so if you're not changing your behavior where that doesn't happen again, because if someone says they're offended, even if you say don't think you've offended them, and I always tell my son, if someone says they're offended, believe them. You know, it doesn't hurt you, it's hurting them. So if they're saying that, honor what they're saying. But that's what I think a lot of people miss out on. You know, they end up being repeat offenders of having to say I'm sorry about the same thing or something similar.
What do you think about that, Doc?
Man, Mo, I really appreciate you sharing that, because being authentic is on a whole nother level. And some folks do say that they're sorry, but because their personal narrative or their personal belief is that they didn't intend to hurt the person, they end up repeating the same offenses, as you say. So you really do have to believe your partner when they tell you that something that you're doing is offending them, and figure out if you can stretch in a way to actually accommodate their needs in the relationship. And if you can't, there's another discussion coming after that.
Anyone that you offend, whether it's your partner or not, you know what I mean?
So. Absolutely.
Hey, Mo, thanks, man. Thanks for listening, brother.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Miss Jada, welcome to the Marketing Pulpit. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. How, oh, morning. How are you all? As far as people saying I'm sorry, I hate a sorry person. and I already know they sorry for what they did.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't want to hear them say they sorry, because I might be still angry. And if they say they sorry, and I'm not the type of argumentative person, but I know a lot of people, they'll say, I know you sorry, this and that and other, and get started back up again, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. No, I hate that word, sorry. Uh-huh. I just tell people to say, I apologize for this and that and the other. I like that so much better. Yeah. I can heal if they say I apologize for, at least I know they know what they are, what hurtful thing that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very good.
Hey. I started wondering why some people couldn't say they, you know, apologize for doing wrong things and getting to know them. I realized that their whole life, people had spoiled them. Friends and family let them get away with everything. They never checked them on the things that they said or done that was hurtful to them.
Wow, yeah, you're making such a good point. Let me just jump in there and put a bow on that. You're absolutely right in the sense that sometimes when you get in those deep romantic relationships and marriages, you are going to be the first person that holds a mirror up to your partner and shows them some of those uglier parts and pieces of them that they've never really had to confront. So it's going to be very difficult for a person to hear that they're offending you or wronging you, and it may take a moment for them to be able to become self-aware and acknowledge that they need to apologize for the things that they've done, that they've gotten away with. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Miss Jada. We got to keep moving here, but thank you for calling in. That's very good input.
Okay, did you go to the seminar?
Did not make it to the seminar, but I will try to catch the next one. But thanks for giving the information.
Okay, they got about $45,000 at the hotel where I went.
Okay, well, great. Okay, well, keep us posted.
And they had several different locations. And you talking about black people talking about your ice ain't cold. Well, this man talked to them for 2 hours, and I cannot understand why people ran up there to get him $1,000.
Miss Jada, you are hitting it today. Thank you, dear. We'll catch you on the next one, okay? All right, Miss Jada, she's throwing down today. She didn't want to hear nobody saying I'm sorry. But she was making, I think sometimes it's the, it's a nuance between I apologize and I'm sorry. Some people just don't like that word, but I think the point is about the same though.
Yeah.
You want to admit that you may have hurt somebody. How do you say it? I think it varies from person to person. Thank you for the callers. Also thank everybody for listening and folks tuning in on Facebook out there. I see one of my, good friends, Miss Candace Camille. Matter of fact, she's going to be on the show next week. She brings a lot of information, going to touch a very personal topic on how you can, I'm not even going to try to explain it to her, but tune in next week. We're going to have Candace Camille. She's going to be here on the Marketing Pulpit. Mr. Prince, we got all people from all over the world. Mr. Prince from Nigeria, he's tuning in, and all the Facebook folks out there, set WOL Radio 1 on your dial, and when you're not tuning in by Facebook, just check this channel out in general. Got a great lineup. Start out with Tom Joyner in the morning. We have Nikita Floyd, the Nature Boy. Then you got the Marketing Pulpit. We got Reverend Al Sharpton. We got Carl Nelson. So this is a station you want to bookmark, plug into your app, get the WOL app, and tune in every day, not just on Friday. We're going to quickly talk about these. Let's acknowledge our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. If you need an office need, have office needs such as office space, virtual services, mailboxes, meeting rooms, call them at 301-322-1700 or go to their website, blesuites.com. Just tell them that Robert Gatewood sent you and they'll give you a free month of rent on your 1 year lease. We're going to talk about the economics of website ownership. There's three phases I just want to touch on real quickly. First thing you want to do when you get a website, you got to pay for the website. Now, website, most people, they think about this nice online presence, and they don't think about the economics involved. Your website is an asset. In some cases, it's your most important asset.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to get into a different topic one day, tell you the difference between a website and an online business. So I want you to think about that for a minute. When you're paying for that website, are you paying for a website or an online business? An online business is slightly different than just a website. And I can get into that on another day. So the first thing you do is pay for that website. The second phase, and also think about that website as an investment. The second phase is that website needs to pay for itself. That's going to pay for the annual fees such as your domain renewals, your hosting, your security, your email accounts, maintenance. You're talking about anywhere from $200 to $500 a year. Now, you can pay for that website by doing such things as setting up passive income such as affiliate programs, referral sites, reciprocal links, selling content, download ebooks, and things like that.
Yeah.
That will cover the cost of maintaining that website so it's not a drain on your finances after you get past setting that website up. That might start to kick in after about halfway through the year one. Going into the next phase, the website should pay you. That's when you start to get clients. You start to sell services, e-commerce, consultations, partnerships. So let's go back through this for a minute. You get yourself a website. People are dreading it because they said it's going to take this money out of my pocket. It's an investment. Look at it that way. Then you got get those little things that's going to cover that expense that's coming out of your pocket every year. Set up some things like affiliate programs where you're selling other people's services on your website. That will cover the cost of that site.
Yeah.
Phase three, that website starts to put money in your pocket by bringing you clients and selling products and services. Folks, we can get more into that. If you need a website or some consultation, call Gatewood Marketing and Web at 301-839-2836. And we are putting people on the web every day. We also have our web services where we offer security, domains, email. Go to chopgatewood.co. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you, Wayna.
Hey, it's always a pleasure.
I'm sorry. I learned how to say it. We'll be back next week. If you want to be successful, do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time. You got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9.
Good morning, I'm Nick Bovey. Here's the latest from News1.com. Brought to you by Subway. Subway now delivers your favorite sub or signature wrap straight to your door with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available.